In this week's Parsha, we jump into understanding a little bit more about the power of joy, the power of simcha. And a lot of the major life concepts that we have that we take for granted, including gratitude. So we start off, the Parsha starts off talking about when you shall enter the land, Vayaki tavo la'aretz. And whenever it says going into the land, we know that there's a physical land. And of course, there's a spiritual land up above. And then there's our land. You know, that's what the prophet Isaiah says. Aretz, aretz, aretz. Listen to the word of Hashem. Three levels of aretz. And the Alter Rebbe says that why does it say three times aretz? Because there's the physical land, right? Mother Earth, whatever. You know, that there's the earth, the land. There's the Eretz HaElyona, there's the higher land. And then there's aretz. Ve'atem tikra'u li eretz chefetz. God says in Isaiah, you are the land. That from you is where everything sprouts from. And the Baal Shem Tov, the holy Baal Shem Tov says, like, just like we don't know what is inside of the earth, you could go to a certain part of the earth and you're like, eh, this is what's going on over here. But then you dig in, and all of a sudden, you know, you're a billionaire. You just struck oil, you just struck gold, you petroleum. What happened? You know, one day you were just a regular Joe, and then you became mobile, you know, or you became, you know, Texas. And it's like that within our land as well. We could strike gold. And parts within ourselves that we think are just dormant and just good old, you know, land. In the middle of Kentucky, of Arkansas, has no potential to be anything. That's what they thought about Texas as well. All of a sudden, this is what comes up. Eretz. So the first Eretz is the actual earth. The other Eretz is the divine earth, the Shekhinah, right, which is called the Eretz HaElyona, and then Eretz is us. Vatem tikru li eretz. You are the land. That is the spiritual sphera of Malchut, which is called land, Eretz, which sprouts all of existence on the spiritual level, on the Kabbalistic level, is all manifested. It all comes from the constant birth and flow that comes from the earth, that which we have no clue how profound earth is, our land is. We call it nature, but it's a miracle that you put in a seed and all of a sudden something grows from it. But like the fact that it's able to intertwine and interconnect and work on that exponential level is divine, right? Because it is connected to the spiritual component, which is Eretz, which is the divine higher plane and field, which is the root of it. But that also includes man and woman, right? Which is Eretz, which is land, which also within us, we're placed within this existence, in this lifetime, and we are given the set of tools and challenges and everything in between. And that's supposed to grow and sprout forth something which is exponential. And so in the Parsha, the Parsha is really a very profound Parsha. And the Baal Shem Tov really expounded on this Parsha. And the reason for that is it's his birthday. It's his birthday Parsha. And the Alter Rebbe's as well.
What's on another share?
Her neshama have an aliyah. It's the Baal Shem Tovs and the Alter Rebbes and many great people's day. And it's also our day as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah, when you will go into the land. And it's very much a preparation for the new year. when you will go, when we will go into the land. What is this land referring to? Kitavo el haaretz. So the three levels of land, but on a very practical level, the Torah is talking about a farmer that is working the land, the physical land, wherever they are in the Upper Galilee or in the middle of Israel in the Carmel region, or even down south where they could grow, fruits. And we know now they have the first fruits, first beautiful buds of pomegranate or olives or dates or figs or grapes. And it's the seven species. And the Torah says, wait, before you pick them and take them into your house and just be amazed by these incredible fruits which Hashem has given you. You just planted this tree and you're like, I'm all of a sudden getting a beautiful pomegranate. It's crazy. You open up a pomegranate, and I think on Rosh Hashanah, that's kind of like what Hashem is saying. I was like, look, I want you to be in wonder, like, of creation. Look at my fruit. Be amazed at all this. So before you give this pomegranate or olive or whatever to you, to serve it on your dinner table or serve it to your children or whatever it is that you're doing with it, hold on one second. I want you to collect them, put them in a basket called a tene. It's a basket. And depending on how many first fruits you have, if you have, just a couple of trees, just bring a basket or two. If you're a major producer, a farmer, you're going to have to come with a truckload of first fruits. But the point is, whatever you are given, you're bringing it to Jerusalem. You're coming to Yerushalayim and you're bringing them to the Kohen. You're bringing them to the priest, and you are serving them. You're giving them and you're saying, thank you. You're bringing it to the temple and you're saying, thank you, Hashem. Thank you for all the good which you have blessed me with. You've blessed me with two trees, with three trees. Thank you. You blessed me with a truckload. Wow. Thank you. And the Kohen lifts up in a whole procedure, and the Kohen gets to keep it as the representative of Hashem, these first fruits. And the Torah says that with these first fruits, v'samachta, you should be happy with all the good which Hashem has given you, you and your families and everything that you have, v'samachta, you should be happy, you should rejoice, right? V'amarta v'anita, and then there's the mitzvah of actually recounting all the exile of this is where we came from and this is what we went through, basically coming out from Lavan, who was the first one, and he oppressed us, and then we were in Egypt and we got out, and basically you're saying a whole Megillah, like a whole like long thing as you're bringing it. So first part of it is you're actually serving it, you're bringing it, which Chassidus explains that's the level of milamata lemaila, from the lower level to up above. You are, one is actually serving and giving forth a token, a sense of appreciation for what they have been granted. And then the next level is above to below, where one says this whole recounting of what happened, where we came from, and what we went through, and here we are. And now at this moment and this time, in this very, very place, I want to thank you, Hashem, for all the good which you have given me. And you should rejoice. Mm-hmm. Be happy. And the power of rejoicing is so important that it says later on in the parasha that all the negativity happens because we don't rejoice in the good that we do have. So where does this come from? So there's so many profound ideas about this mitzvah of Bikurim, which which on a very basic level teaches us the power and the importance of thanking Hashem for what we have. And so let's explore this a little bit, because the power of thanking Hashem for what we have leads us directly to joy. Because if we don't have this joy, right, then we don't have, if we don't have this gratitude, then we don't have joy. And so where does this come from? So the set, what is really joy? If we had to think about it, okay? You know, in our lives, like everyone at the end of the day wants two things, love and joy. If you know that, then you're good to go. It's just, how do you get that? Right? And how do you give it? And how do you get it? Or how do you accept not maybe getting it and having to find it? So that's really the difference. There's outer joy and there's inner joy. The outer joy, and by the way, there's 10 names for simcha, for joy in Hebrew, meaning that joy is a little bit more profound than what we thought it was. It's not just, oh, yippee, you know, like, wow, you know, like, right? Chedvach, chatan, v'kala, which is a whole, right? There's 10 expressions, but generally there are two levels. There's a level which is of external joy and internal joy. And now, not going into the 10 levels of simcha per se, but the Torah kind of prescribes for us this level of simcha that we need to have, and basically tells us that on Yom Tov, on a holiday, you know what? You've got to be happy. Why? It's now an opportunity to connect to time and space and to basically be here, right? So that's a Yom Tov, which is called Mo'adim LeSimcha. The Torah says these are holidays that you need to be joyous in. Whereas Shabbat, we don't necessarily have a mitzvah per se to be happy in. There's a mitzvah of oneg, of having pleasure, of connecting on much more of a different level. But on Yom Tov, we have a mitzvah of simcha. So a simcha, the halacha tells us, the Rambam tells us, that what is simcha? Simcha is contingent on each person's needs. So generally for men, they are happy when they have meat and wine. So it's actually a mitzvah to have meat and wine on Yom Tov, because that is something which is going to pretty much do the job of, you know, it's like, great, I've got, you know, I know I'm a pretty happy camper, you know, I have that. And then a little bit of, you know, mashed potatoes or salads. I'm like,
perfect.
Well, what else, you know? What's that? So, right. So it says that women have a different level of joy, which is more buying new clothing and jewelry and
buying new lessons of chassidus, living from jewelry.
There you go.
Jewelry on chagim, not every day. Chassidus.
There you go.
This is my jewelry.
100%.
No,
very, 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 very rich.
No, I meant
she's
rich, but you don't have to put a lot of
effort. No, just the opposite. She, yeah. So, and then children have other levels of simcha, right? So the simcha comes from the external. Basically, I am now having this. I'm served this. Great, I'm happy. And then there's another level of simcha. There's a level of simcha which comes about through the mitzvah of Purim, for example, where one thought that things were supposed to look a certain way, They're supposed to be an go down a certain path, and lo and behold, it turned out to be not just that, but the opposite. It turned out to be really good. So that's a higher level than simcha, where that's why on holidays such as Purim, there's an extra level of feasting. There's an extra level of appreciation of life, essentially, how everything just turns out to be in an amazing way. But still, that's not the deepest level, because one is still contingent on that joy, which is seeing the circumstances turn around for the good, which is a very high level of joy. It says that that the level of Purim is not going to go away. Even when Mashiach comes, we're going to celebrate this Simcha of Purim. But then there's a Simcha, which actually Rabbi Nachman says, Mitzvah Gdola Lios B'Simcha. There's a great mitzvah to be B'Simcha. And people ask, like, where does it say that there's a mitzvah to be B'Simcha? And Rabbi Nachman used to say, it never says in the Torah that it's an actual mitzvah to be B'Simcha. There's a mitzvah to be B'Simcha on a holiday, or Chazal said about Purim, but where does it say to mitzvah gdol liot b'simcha? So, and he explained that what simcha could do, or the opposite of simcha does, is pretty much one of the worst hazards that one could be in, being in a state of the opposite of joy. And being in a state of simcha is the surest way to connect to Hashem, even though one may not, quote, be there externally. They're there. When a person is living in a state of mind of openness, of simcha, of joy, of that realm of just now is good, that is godly. That's a level of godliness, because it says about Hashem that God oz v'chedva bimkomo, that in the place of Hashem there's joy. God's place is joy, and that means that if we want to connect to Hashem, to God's frequency, we also have to be in a state of joy. How do you do that? How do you lively up yourself? So you have to, you know, there's a state of how do you do that? That's the whole thing, because life throws at us all of the circumstances that life does. And it's very easy to give up on joy. And even when we are joyous, we're joyous at a certain interval in our life. And in this parsha, we actually learn the fourth level of simcha. The fourth level of simcha is, how do you practically get to to a level of simcha? So it's not being in sometimes there's simcha, like in these times there's simcha or these times there's simcha, but to change the state of mind, that the state of mind is a state of mind of simcha, that now is actually good as opposed to it will be good, but right now it's good. In this moment, right now, it is absolutely good in this perspective, because the truth is, it is. Regardless of what may be in our heads from the past and in the future, in the present moment, I don't know about you, but right now is pretty good. Right now is good. Right now is a blessing. It is. But how do you get to realize that on a constant level? So the answer to that is a state of mind of gratitude. And this is what the Torah teaches us. The Torah teaches us that if you want to come into the land, you want to come into the land? Here you are. I'm giving you good in your life. But there's also the land and everything around it, which got to getting to the realizing the good. The question is, which one are you going to focus on more? It's so easy to focus on what we don't have. Why? And it's normal. I mean, that's the way Hashem made us. We're wired in that way. But the Torah tells us, yes, but that's the earth. And in the earth, we're basically also wired that things exponentially could grow in a way that is way beyond us. So in our basic nature, that's what we are. But we need to focus on the godly level, on what we are given in this world, in this time, in this moment. So this week, I'd like to share with you a little story. This week, you know, it says that we're living with the times. And so this week, I took a group around Tzaddikim here in the Upper Galilee. And I was going through certain challenges with, doesn't matter, but like, and still, you know, things that we want to resolve in our life. All good, all good, all good. I'll leave it. It's good. It's a siman bracha. Sign of a blessing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, so I was thinking about this challenge. It's good. And I went to these tombs, these tzaddikim, and, you know, and I'm praying there. Now I'm praying for my kind of thing. And then when I dropped off this group, I happened to park in front of an ambulance. Just that's because that was the only spot that there was, and I see this person that's kind of like wheeled out, and someone that I know. He is an exceptional individual. He's Russian, and he deals with the Russian community that are here. Chabad shliach, someone that had a very, could say, challenging life, and he had a sort of cellulitis, which he actually constantly has, and I couldn't believe, like, you know,
the infection,
right? And just seeing that gave me a completely different perspective on my personal challenge. Mm-hmm. The fact that I was able to walk, thank God, normally made me think, Ezu Ashir, who is someone who is rich? What is Ashir? Is Einaim, you've got your eyes. Shinaim, you've got your teeth. Right? Right? Yadaim, you've got your hands. Raglaim, you have your feet. You have what you have right now. You're rich, wealthy, beyond belief. Mm-hmm. It really is that case. And I was walking and I was like, what problem? What issue? It's just completely like reoriented everything, and the anxiety and the fear and this and that completely shifted to a state of mind of, wow, thank God I could walk. Thank God I could this. And thank God. And this is what the Torah is saying. The Torah is saying that the state of mind of joy has to come through first with gratitude. First with realizing what you have. Because in the state of mind of gratitude, then you are in the here and the now. Because at that point, it's not contingent on anything outside of you. It's on inside of you. and what you have. Gratitude is joy, right? The Navi says, "V'yasfu anavim b'Hashem simcha," that anavim, that humble ones, will increase in joy, right? That's what the prophet says. So you think about it. What does humility and joy have to do with each other? You think someone that's humble, they're not that joyous, but the one that's like, you know, the big shot and they own that and they have that, they're really happy, right? But no, it's actually the ones that are humble. They are humble, and humility and gratitude is the same hod, is the same root, because the ability to have gratitude comes from a place of humility, which is a very deep part of ourselves, which is called the Midas Ahod, right? That is that part of ourselves, which is that part of gratitude, that part of humility, of Hod, that says that was the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Moses, that he was on this realm of Hod. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was on the level of Hod Shebehod. He had that humility within humility. It was a very, very high level to be humble and to be grateful so much for what one has, to the point that this is the mindset. That the mindset is a mindset of gratitude. If the mindset is the mindset of gratitude, then there's simcha. Then there's joy all the time. Because how could there not be joy if one is in a state of mind of gratitude? There are two conflicting energies when you think that I should have something and I want it versus I have right now. The fact that I should is my mind really saying that something needs to happen. But right now, I'm finding Hashem, finding God, finding everything within the present moment, right now. And the state of mind, the shift of the state of mind, is the impetus, or that is the actual joy. And that's what the Torah is telling us, that when you bring the first fruits, you're bringing not just stuff, but you're actually then saying a whole parsha, basically of going back in time, where you're thanking God for all the good which He has given you. That process of saying thank you, Hashem, of actually enunciating it with our mouth, right? Because it's not enough just to think about it. We want to say it. The power of saying thank you, Hashem, has the power to actually shift reality. What does that mean? Shift reality. Reality is as it is, but shift reality of our own possibilities, because Hashem is infinite and He's giving us infinite good all the time. And when we thank Him for the infinite good, then infinite good is actually just what we are. And we're just a part of infinite good. And it's that mindset which is shifting, and that's the joy. That's the ongoing simcha that we have, right? L'chaim. So what do you guys think about this?
I think it's great. It's also interesting that today is what, the 14th of Elul month, 14th of Tishrei, this month.
Now it's the 15th. Right now is exactly simcha and another.
We push away all darkness.
That's it. Simcha, the power of joy, is the power of pushing all negativity. The power of joy. It's the greatest power that we have.
There must be a reason that the whole beginning of this parasha is simple. The end is the follows.
Right. Yes. Right. Yeah. Right. I'm gonna mention that in a second. Yeah. Yes. Mark.
Yeah. For me, you know, joy, to define joy and what is joy, it's a state of contentment. It's where I'm with no stress. To me, that's joy. I don't get an elevated sense of excitement, but I get a sense of contentment and oneness with Hashem, and that's the joy.
Right. So as we mentioned, there are 10 words for joy. So I think what you're mentioning there is maybe a word which is called Rina, okay, or Chedva, okay, which Chedva is a very much of a, we call it chill level of joy, where you're like, you know, yeah. Chedva, I'm bechedva, or Rina. Rina is like, Simcha is like you're elated, right? Sason.
Yes.
Right.
You already know it's like a horse.
Right. You're laughing. Exactly. There's right. It's all. There's many there, that's a great place to be in. But that's one level of joy, because when you're going to go to when you're going to go to a different place or a different state, are you going to still feel that level of contentment? Is the contentment coming from the outside or from the inside? And I think that is like the apex is really like simcha. To be able to be still and mindful and grateful for everything. Okay. Yesterday we had a certain instance where, God bless our 4-year-old, whatever, we had to go to the emergency room. And in that place, you know, when, you know, when you're in between, there's a place of focus where let's look at the joy over here. And looking at the joy over here is really being grateful for, thank you for this. And all of a sudden, once again, you get shifted to just being very present. When there are, unfortunately, you know, sort of emergency, you know, kind of situations. But the Torah says, don't come to me just from emergency situations. Come to me from a place of joy all the time. And this goes back to what you were saying, because in the parsha, we have these two spectrums of joy and then the opposite of joy, which the parsha talks about. If we don't follow these, you know, Hashem's path in the world, so then we will receive all of these curses, basically. And they're pretty intense. But what's interesting is that the Torah doesn't start out with talking about the negativity. It starts off talking about the positivity. And that's a very important life lesson for us to be aware of, that. And as very practically, we're going to the new year of Rosh Hashanah. So we're looking back of, you know, what went on and what was this year like. So it's very easy to say, well, this was bad and that, you know, all the red markers come out. And the red markers are very freely like take out the red. And the truth is, let's start out the other way. What did go well this year? Because that's really the focus over here. When you go into the land is basically, again, is also Rosh Hashanah in a sense. Like we're going into the new year. But as we're going into the land, bear in mind, What was good this year? What were your successes? What are you grateful for this year? There's so much to be grateful for. Thank you, Hashem, for. And we should kind of even make, we should make lists of those and say, Hashem. And you know what? When we have that, we don't even need the other part. With the other part of like, well, why didn't you what about that? Because when you're already coming from the positive state of mind, then of course we're going to shift. Of course we're going to do good. You know, there's no question. We're already coming to that. We're seeing more and more that in you know, kids, you know, students, you know, how they're learning. They're not learning in the same ways that they used to learn. And go to school like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, for sure, 100 years ago, where they used to take out a little, you know, stick and whatnot, or punitive, you know, you did this. And that level of education doesn't work anymore, because we are coming more to a time of, we're coming to a time of complete connection to Hashem from a place of simcha, from a place of joy, because that's really what Hashem wants. He wants us to connect on the level of joy, to see all the good which He has created in the world. And there's so much good. Again, just starting off very basically with that, the seven species, you're taking a pomegranate and you just open it up. You see beautiful fruit. Just take a moment to view that orange, or to the texture of it, the color of it, the smell of it. It's crazy. It's insane of how beautiful and how intricate Hashem's world is. Hashem is like, I'm giving all of this to you, so you should celebrate with me right here from a place of not of fear, of trauma, of, you know, of running away and this and that, but just like being very much in the here and the now, in the present, and recognizing, thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for, and absolutely enjoying that, because that is a realm of Geula. That is a realm of basically of redemption. That's what it's going to be like in redemption. It's not going to be like, you know, I called up the half hour late on the delivery and, you know, it's not toasted enough. Bring it back there. You know, if you, or people are, you could recognize, you see people are unhappy. Why are people are unhappy? Why? Because they're not appreciating what they do have as opposed to what they don't have. And just today, like somebody who just pulled up with had to go into a taxi, and this lady's like yelling at the taxi, why can't you get out and help me? Da, da, da. And it's like, why are you so angry? You have a taxi, you know, you have like a bag. Just like, just go with the flow, like put it inside and just enjoy your day. Like, why have the big grudge? And why, like, you know, it's like we do it to ourselves. We do it to ourselves. And the Torah says, "Vayaki tavol la'aretz," bring the first fruit. Focus on that. Focus on that. Focus on the blessings. Focus on the blessings. Focus on the blessings.
That's not difficult. If somebody is positive, so there are many people like. Last few years in trying to bolster them, but to move somebody who doesn't want to focus on that,
right,
is very, very difficult.
So that's why we're suffering in the world.
Very difficult.
That's why, because Hashem is basically, you could say Hashem is good. Hashem is always good, just good. That's Hashem. Hashem's God is just good. And it's just like we are holding on to the preconceived notions, and we are choosing pain. because we're not saying, thank you, Hashem, for all the technological advancements. Thank you, Hashem, for what you have given me. Thank you, Hashem, for modern this. But thank you, Hashem, for that. Thank you, Hashem, I have the ability, right? All these incredible blessings that we have in this world right now, which people did not have 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago. And we're like, here we are, right here, right now. And we're still sad. We're still like, what is going on? You know, and what's going on is that we're basically think that we deserve something beyond the reality that we actually have already, which is so much. And once we appreciate that, of course Hashem's going to want to give us more. Of course he's going to, because that's, but if you don't appreciate what you're like, what I'm giving you now, why would I want to give you even more? And Hashem is the ultimate level of good. So if I give you more, it's not going to really be good for you. So that's where you're going to have to suffer in realizing that actually it is good what you do have. And it's your mindset, which is holding you back from actually doing that. So there's two choices of either going into gratitude and going into like surrendering or fighting it. And having more obstacles.
The people who don't choose it don't know they can choose. That's the problem. Like, you have to break
right
through a barrier, right? Because the thing, there's just such a huge barrier.
It's a huge barrier. 100%. And that's what the Torah says. Vanochi astir panay minkem. That at the end of days before Mashiach, there's two words for that. Vanochi, I will even hide myself, that I'm even hiding myself. Anochi haster aster panay bayomahu. Aster, I will hide that I'm even hiding from you. Once you already know that someone is hiding, but you don't even know. Like they say about the Kotzker Rebbe, that he was playing hide and go seek, and then this person, that he was playing with, whatever, didn't, or this child stopped looking. So he said that what's the point of even hiding if the one is not even looking? And that's where we're basically are. We don't even realize that Hashem is hiding, mm-hmm. and we're supposed to seek him. We're not playing hide and go seek. So that hiddenness is very intense because of not even knowing that that's what we should be choosing. Mark? I think you're muted.
Yeah. Am I unmuted now? Yeah. Why doesn't he make himself visible or known or physical like he did for Moses in the burning? Why can't we have a demonstration and proof God is here in our time? Why right. can't we have?
Right. So the reason is because we already saw that. And basically, we are reincarnations, well, all of us, of previous generations that have seen it. And it was very known and very seen on an intellectual level and on, we could say, higher level. And now we're called the foot, the ikvas of the Mashiach. We're called like the heels of Mashiach. And basically, at this juncture in the world, we have to feel Hashem in a very embodied way, that it's not just knowing God on the intellectual level anymore, or wow, did you see that, whoa, you know, like I've been to the Niagara Falls and never been to the Grand Canyon, but like, whoa, amazing. But like, I go to sleep like that night and every, you know, and I go on with my life. It's an experience, but you're not transformed by the experience per se. It's like a great time. Like today, like I took like a couple, and they had like an helicopter ride over Israel, and they were like like, wow, this is awesome. But then I brought them to Tzfat and they were like, whoa, this is a different level of awesome. And because the thing is that you could have the experience and it's like, again, like a helicopter or out of body surreal type of an experience. And you're like, whoa, but it's not you. And in this juncture, in this time called Ikvasa de Mashiach, that the heels of Mashiach, what God is asking from us is to know him on all of our levels, on the level of our feet, on the level of our body. God wants to be known in the level of body. Because in the body is where he's actually found. But it's not even a mind. It's not even something that you makes sense. So you would say, how does that work? And emotionally, how does that fit? I don't know how that feels. But once it's known within the body, and again, going back to the level of earth, the three levels of earth that we were talking about at the beginning, what's the earth doesn't make sense. It's not like the most spectacular of the elements, right? You'd say fire. Wow, that's cool. That's trippy. The air, the water is awesome, right? But earth, and this month is the month of, right, of Virgo, of Elul, is that level of earth. And all right, it's earth, you know, what's so spectacular about that? But no, in the earth is where everything happens. It's like, that's where the magic really happens, where it gradually and it's slowly, and it's not, there isn't the fanfare and the excitement. Very much like, you know, when you take a walk in nature, you go into presence and you're in the year, and then there's very much an appreciation and a different level of wonder and level of being present, which is why it's so difficult for us in our generation to be present. We have a real issue of like being present for more than 5 seconds. Because we're addicted to the spectacular in our brains, that we need the dopamine in the next big like reel that's going to like absolutely shift everything, and then the next one maybe, and then the third, and Pavlov's dogs that are following. But that's our minds, and that's not where Hashem is found. I mean, he is, of course, found there, found everywhere, but really within now, in this generation, he's found within the feet. Ikvas Mashiach. Hashem wants to be known in our earth, in that place of earth. Like, thank you, Hashem, for this olive that I'm eating right now. That's it. Baruch at, like I'm saying a blessing, pop it in there. And we're connected. And we're connecting to the joy that Hashem is giving us. Right? It doesn't, again, take away from planning. It doesn't take away from working on ourselves. But what it does do is it's supposed to instill us with a mindset. And that mindset is constantly shifting. And we're constantly working on that mindset because we're always challenged and we always shift to a higher level of mindset of gratitude and of simcha. Right? It's not like, oh, I got that mindset. Great. I got the mindset, because we're not a robot. It's like we're working on that. On that, right? It's a gradual shift and lifelong mission that we have. So yeah, any other comments, questions?
Definitely. You said that perhaps we are attracted to the grander things, the good things that bring us a lot of joy, versus the grounding, the natural, whatever. I mean, doesn't it make sense when we have this wow moment that we should want another wow moment?
Of course, it's in our dopamine. It's like, right. Yeah, it's in our biology.
Right, so it's kind of understandable that we're going after these grander experiences.
Sure, but we break, Hashem wants us to break our nature.
To be kind of mundane.
To break our nature. That's why we're here. We're here to break our nature. Our nature is...
100 times.
Yeah. Our nature is to pollute or to do this or do that. No, it's like you're not. You are going to stop. You are going to... And in Iskafe, you're going to stop yourself and you're going to work on yourself and you're going to till the land a little bit more. You're going to water it. You're going to, you know, smile for the sun. Right? You're like, I just want to do this. No, this is what you're doing. This is the process. And Simcha is found there because you find joy within the process, not within the end goal, which is a very big difference between joy that comes externally and joy that comes internally. Joy that comes externally is very often not enough because we haven't reached the end goal. So if you've had, you know, this level of joy because of food that you've had, yes, you're happy, but like you could always have more and there isn't like enough, right? Whereas the level of joy, which comes internally, is a joy that is contingent on, it's the process, right? That we're going into a process, and the process is the joy. So to just put this together, you know, for all of us, you know, in as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah, so to look at the incredible process that we are in and what we've had in this last year, and to find gratitude, how grateful are we for the great things that we did have, right? And as we're going forward towards, you know, this year, you know, that mindset of joy, that mindset of gratitude, is that something that we can incorporate more? You know, before we complain next about what we don't have, what do we have? Right? And to lean into that, because gratitude is humility, and humility is basically knowing God not from our extravagant moments, but it's very much in the... Yes, that's this expression, yeah. That all the exile happens because of a lack. Yeah, because of the curses. The Torah says that. All, yeah.
You know the problem, by the way?
Yeah. No.
You really should elaborate, because this is like, he went to concentration, he lost 11 children, he lost his wife. Mm-hmm. And I met a man, very elderly man.
I don't know if everyone could hear you, because is that okay?
I met a very elderly man. He said, I know nothing, I don't keep anything. I was a young boy during the war. We worked in a stone quarry. Mm-hmm. Most people survived 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This rabbi was there. And as he was carrying, he's got big stone, he had to carry them up and carry them down. Most people survive in Bazi. Mm-hmm. So that's what he kept on repeating himself. So this religious, unfortunate person's been saying is the only person I remember in the Torah.
Wow.
But it made such an impact on me, and this man made it.
Wow, the close of our rabbi said that.
He kept on saying it while he was.
Oh wow!
Stone up,
that's there. Amazing.
He actually survived.
This man survived.
This man told me survived. But that's what I remember.
Wow! Amazing, amazing. Anyways, great story. Just to recap that there was a man.
He lost his wife. He lost 11 children, and then he went on to help hundreds of girls who were in the camps. You know.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So the bottom line is that we've got to remember to serve Hashem with gratitude and with simcha and with joy. So remembering that is a great way to really prepare for what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah, to prepare for the new year and for all good things that are going to be upon us. So if you haven't yet made a list, make a list of the good things that did work for you this year and what you're grateful for this year. And be ready for that list to be doubled next year, right? Why not? Right? As opposed to holding the detriment list and saying, I hope that is not doubled next year, right? But if you hold the positive list, then the detriment list is going to shred, that's for sure. So, all right, folks. So we're going to pause over here. Yes, God willing.
1 o'clock?
12:15. Yeah. God bless everyone. Shall have it. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you, Amichai.
My pleasure.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, everyone. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.